Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Sungai, so many real-time updates and so little time. Oh yeah, I gotta do another one. Because I sounded like shit on Tuesday and Monday. And there are people, not you, who are concerned, who care about my well-being. And so I gotta tell them that I'm feeling a little bit better. Yeah, so it's been a weird day. It's still Wednesday. For you guys, it's a Thursday of the following week. And if you're listening to this, the day it drops. For me, it's the previous Wednesday. I'm trying to get a lot of recording done so that I can play more poker. I need to play my final session of the year, and it's an important one. I need to win, and I need to put in hours where it's still, we're right on the border of having a season 5 or not. It's really close. And yeah, so this day I kind of expected to record a bunch, and last night I already talked about this on Tuesday. If you know part one of this drop, part one of the you know bonus session plus lead out. Last night I was feeling achy in my bones, and I just never feel that, only when I have corona. And I was wondering, man, do I have fucking corona again? And I don't know everything about coronavirus, but I know there's a new variant, Omicron, and supposedly it's no joke. And I don't think the other ones were a joke either. I think I had the OG Corona. I think I had Corona 1.0. I think it was before Delta. Yeah. I don't think I had Delta. And then I thought maybe last night, did I get Omicron? And I don't know. This is part of leading this really busy life, short on sleep. No exercise, is you just feel like shit a lot, and you don't know if you're fucking got a deadly virus, or you're just a fuckhead who needs to sleep and exercise and do all the stuff that healthy people do. And anyways, I felt awful this morning, just totally awful, when I was recording Monday's drop, the lead up for week 49. And I almost quit in the middle of it. I thought I was going to collapse. And then I went and slept all day after, and I was hot, cold, and all that shit. And I woke up, and I didn't feel good, but I have to work. And I feel like it. A lot of it could be stress, too, of how much I have on my plate. And I do see the finish line of my crazy life. Not the finish line of my life. Let's not get dark right now. I'm saying I see the finish line of my life being all work. I think that ends when this season ends, and hopefully there's another season and it's different. I do 3 drops a week instead of 4, and I don't tell my life story. I include little pieces. I have an idea for season 5 that I think is going to appease every listener that I've ever had, and I think it'll be the best season yet. It better be. I won't do it if it's not. But anyways, I'm thinking, well, It's one of those things where, like, I do need a break. I do need to, like, relax, and I do need to exercise and sleep. But you just can't do that when you have too much to do. And I'll also feel better by getting shit done. And so I powered through Tuesday's drop, part one. And I had some shortness of breath, and my throat was fucked up. And then I don't know what happened. I just recorded that and produced it and queued it up. Well, I haven't queued it up yet, but I've got the file ready to queue up. And now I feel a little bit better, and I could have Rona. That's how Rona is. It comes and goes. That's the mind fuck of it, at least in my experience, is that you will feel awful, and then you'll start to feel better, and then you'll feel worse. And that's really hard to take. And that was the worst part of it. But anyways, I tried to go get tested, but I couldn't find a place that could test me today. So I decided I'll just see how I feel. I'll keep working. And on Tuesdays, the drop you heard, the previous drop on Tuesday, I just recorded, and, I was short of breath and shit, but maybe I was congested and maybe it was the caffeine kicking in, and maybe it's I just fired a bunch of games, and usually I sweat my games while I'm working, and I'm not doing that now. They're just, you know, happening, and I just checked and I'm losing, and who gives a shit? I've been fucking whacking E-Donk and Macaroni, aka Donkaroni Corporation. And if you don't know, we in the community that I'm building, we do neutral EV wagering, and everyone can fire on any game they want, and they're never taking the best of it or the worst of it. It's fun, and historically I'm the absolute worst. Well, the last few days I've been on fire, and I've been stinging them a little bit, and they're not used to losing, and you know, they're fragile right now. So I took it easy on them tonight, only put like 2K in action, but last night got them good. And anyways, I wanted to tell people I'm feeling better, and who knows, hopefully I can record this one with no setbacks to my health. And because that's how Corona is, it just comes on and goes. And then maybe record another one tonight, and then I only have 4 drops left, hopefully just of season 4 and not of this entire podcast. But yeah, that'll be nice. Anyways, I will sip this Diet Pepsi, Wild Cherry Diet Pepsi, and we're going to resume. We're going to pick up where we left off on Tuesday. Week 49 of 50. Love this place. Bonus session plus lead out part 2. So it's very early on Tuesday, December 7th. I started this session at with about 30 minutes left of Monday, December 6th. And if you recall, I drove up the night before after a very crazy busy weekend. My daughter had 4 soccer games, my son had 3. And they were early as shit. I didn't get much sleep. And then I drove up and I didn't get much sleep. And then I worked, on the podcast. And then I went and commentated. And then I had dinner with my girlfriend. And I had a couple beers. And I had to say goodbye to her. And I started at 11:30 on fumes. And we got in this 5-5 game. And they were straddling. All except for old school. Doesn't want to straddle. And I had a good conversation with some dude who got sentenced to 10 years in prison. He didn't say what for, but someone was wearing a wire. And what got him through was a live stream. It was live at the bike. Hustler Casino Live didn't exist back then, and now he watches Hustler Casino Live. And it made me feel good that, like, this new job I have has a lot of purpose, just like podcasting does. I'm not teaching anyone how to live. I'm teaching some people some things about poker, but it's mostly stuff that's both good for them and good for the game. I'm okay with that strategy as long as if it's mutually beneficial, I'm okay with that. And some other strat's going to come out here and there. Who cares? But, you know, I had that good conversation and the old school said, okay, I'll straddle. And then I knew strike while the iron is hot, I think is what the expression is. Okay, call the floor over. We want to change this to 5-5-10, something that's supposed to be able to happen. And, yeah, so call them over and say, we want to do this. And the floor says, well, you guys, I have to protect my 5-5 main game, which is full. And I don't believe that. Don't protect a game. Make them learn how to be good for the game themselves. And if they want to play this game, they can come over to this game, whatever. And it's okay. I didn't really get into it. I didn't want to. I didn't want to tilt. And then we mostly played 5-5-10. And then the guy who said, okay, I'll do it. Then he lost the pot or something, said, I won't do it. And you know, it's been a very LA poker night. A lot of loose action, some tempers flaring. And if you recall, those guys were at each other's throats in the limit game while Baby I Love Your Way was on. And it was just fucking beautiful in my mind. I have a creative mind, a weird mind, whatever you want to call it. I love that. I love that shit. And and then our game, I did bink. Remember, I bink with the ace jack on the king, queen, XX, 10, and I got all the money on the river. And, things are going, I'm winning, and we're just going to start heads up now, me and the banker. And that's just some guy who limped under the gun was banking on me squeezing. I squeezed, he 3-bet, I folded, he showed queens and said, I was banking on you doing that. And this guy's really cool. He's in town, I forgot from where, maybe from Northern California or maybe even Oregon or something. And he's in town for the World Series of Poker circuit shit at the bike, but their cash games were dead. And so he drove over to the Hustler, and that's how that works. If you build it, they will come. And we had games going on this night. So he came over and he had heart. I mean, he was a cool dude. Another, you know, a lot of cool people at the Hustler, good conversations. And I could just tell that he wanted to battle and to be friendly. And we let the Knit go to the other game, and the other game's full. The 5-5 game is full, and we're going to play 5-10, right? And we changed the game, and it's cool. I'm doing dark 20s when I'm the button. So to recap, when you're playing heads up, the button is a small blind, and I'm going to open almost every hand. If I'm, you know, there are certain hands you're going to fold, deuce, seven off, so just horrible hands, but I'm going to play so many of them that it doesn't matter. I prefer in general just dark raising the button, and I don't want it to be a straddle. I don't want to have an option, and I like dark min raising, and I have my reasons. I don't need to get into them. I've done it my whole career. For the most part, you make adjustments sometimes, but so that's what I'm doing. It's 5-10, but whenever I'm the small blind, I just put a 20 out there dark on the button, and this guy's cool, and it brings me back to so many nights in my life where I do whatever in the full ring game, and you're always like, well, this guy has this, and this guy has that, and that stack, and this stack, and this. Heads up is so pure. It's, I'm only playing against this dude. Here's what's going on with him right now. Here's what his hand is. Here's what he thinks my hand is. It's just this really beautiful fucking form of poker. And the first note I wrote is masterclass. And so I was locked right away, where every time I wanted him to fold, he folded. And then the times that I wanted him to call, he called. And he said, I guess you can have it every time. And I got paid on 2 or 3 4-card straight boards. And I made it look like a bluff. And he called. And I didn't have it every time. I was bluffing every other time, betting more. Just there's little intricacies, right? You want to get called. You sell your bet this way. Depending on what level you think your opponent's on. If you think he's pretty perceptive, you put a forceful bet out there. And people do that with bluffs. Well, you do it with the 4-card straight. You got it. Because it's going to look like a bluff. They're going to say, fuck it, I call. And, you know, it depends what level they're on. If they think a soft, slow bet is strong, you do that with your weak hands. Basic shit. And I wrote masterclass. So I was feeling myself. And then I wrote, in quotes, I guess you can have it every time. And then I wrote masterclass, I said. So I was really feeling good, and I was running over the game, the heads-up game. And then he coolers me, but he only calls. I had something good, and he only called my big value bet on the river. And so it was kind of like a slow roll. And I wasn't mad at all, but it was kind of like a slow roll where you just are begging for a call, you get called, and you lose. And then I miss in a big spot. And now the floor man, I've had a lot of history with this floor man in my brief time at the Hustler. He's old school and his heart's in the right place. And he just is, like so many of us, resistant to change, just allergic to change. And, you know, we wanted to make it 5-5-10. He said no. And then he said, okay, I can make it 5-5-10. And then I have to move you guys. This was when it was full. We had a full table. I still have to move you to the 5-5. And we're like, fuck that. You know, but I was being nice. I was like, no, don't bother. No one wants to do that. And then we let, you know, a Knit go to the fill up that game. And then we're just playing heads up. So, okay, we're going to play 5-10. He comes over and says, I need you guys to move over to that game. And I'm like, look, man, I've been on my best behavior tonight. And I've been around a long time and I'm grizzled vet, but I do work, you know, at the Hustler. I work on the stream and they're sponsoring my podcast. So I need to be on better behavior. But I'm like, dude, like I've just dealt with this enough tonight. Like I can't, like you now you're being like just ridiculous. Like we changed the game. It's 5-10. You're forcing us to go to a fucking 5-5 grinder festival. We're not. And like, no, he thinks I'm being out of line, and I think he's just not getting it, and it's classic. I don't care. I don't have any hard feelings for the guy. And finally, the dealer just starts fucking dealing. We just We just said no, man. And I'm thinking, like, all the anti-government folk will be proud of us right now. The dealer and us two players. We just said no. We stood our ground. No, dude, we're not. We're playing heads up 5-10. You're getting a dollar a hand. I'm tipping a dollar a hand, and I'm winning so many fucking hands. And even if I take it down pre, tip a dollar. I'm tipping $100 an hour. And the rake is $100 an hour. And it doesn't matter. I'm juicing up the pots, and it's fun. I'm having fun. And I realize, you know, I'm always aware of the rake, including the tips, is so, you know, formidable. But you can't tell us we have to go to 5-5 now. And I just was like, man, no. Like, the other stuff, I just dealt with it. And I said, okay. But this, I'm not going to. You're being ridiculous. And I just said it out loud. And I, you know, I get it. It's just a misunderstanding. But at some point, you got to stand your ground. And it was great. The dealer just fucking dealt. Just like, no, nah, man, you are crazy. And dealt. And then, it was, we stood up to the government and we won. And so now we're playing again. And now, so I was doing dark 20s. I said that. So it's, and we're playing 5-10. And so when I'm the five on the button, I just put 20 out there. And I say, each time a dealer comes in, I say, this is never live. It's just a dark raise. Because I don't want, you know, a straddle to be excessive. Like, it would be, I don't want that edge, right? I want it out there. It's going to work out just fine like this. It's perfect, right? And now I start doing dark 30, dark 40, and dark 50, and I'm blaming it on the floor. I'm saying this is blank's fault. And it's a joke. The player I'm playing with knows I'm joking. The dealers know I'm joking. But I'm saying this is his fault. Okay, dark 40, dark 50. And then if I lose with dark 40, I go, that's unlucky. Dark 50, dark 30, whatever. So I'm just putting all these darks out there, and it's accomplishing two things. It's juicing up the game. Even though my financial situation is dog shit and it's been a long time, I just am pretty numb to low stakes anything, whether it be betting on a game. Like, I have to bet a lot to feel something, and I, you know, 5-10 is fine, but I'd rather win, like, I'd rather be betting like hundreds and thousands than betting like in the lower than 100 on bets and stuff. And so I'm making the game a lot bigger. And yeah, and so that's you know, when you make the game bigger, you make the rake smaller as a percentage, obviously. And it's hard to take notes when you're playing heads up, but I wrote Masterclass twice, and it was everything was working. I did, you know, you're gonna have little setbacks here and there, and I ended this guy, whatever he bought in for, I fucking ended him. And so here's the thing. As a younger professional, I want him to reload. And because not only do I love playing heads up, that's where my edge is. Take my biggest leak in poker, and it's no patience, can't fold, preflop. Well, if I, you know, now we're heads up, now it's a strength because I'm used to playing all these dog shit hands. I'm used to always having fucking third pair, medium kicker, stuff like that. And so I know it's where my biggest edge is. But also, man, I am fucking tired. Like, I feel like I did my thing. Like, this guy was good at poker too, but probably doesn't play heads up much. And you know, I probably ran hot, whatever. I ended him. It felt like I did my job, right? Like, man, I woke up tired. I worked. And then I went to my other job as a commentator, and I worked for 5 hours straight looking at screens. And then I've been playing poker and dealing with the floor man and heads up battle. And I end him, right? And part of me doesn't want him to rebuy. It's kind of like if you're tired and you know you're never leaving a game. This guy was not a whale, but I'm saying it. You know you're never leaving a game if a whale's in and he busts and you're like, please just don't rebuy so I can go home. You want the action, obviously, but also if this guy doesn't rebuy, I go home. I go back to my hotel room and sleep. And, you know, it's tired. I'm tired. It's fucking after 3 a.m., whatever. And he rebuys. And I just have mixed emotions. I'll never leave in that spot. I just won't ever quit anyone. I don't know if I've ever quit anyone heads up. I just won't. And also, I would if I lost. I would feel okay. But I just stacked him. I got him to play heads up. And I just stacked him. And no, I'm not. I'm, you know, okay, let's keep playing. I'm really tired. And yeah. So let me take another sip of this Wild Cherry Diet Pepsi and tell you what happens after the rebuy. I'll tell you what happens after the rebuy. Adversity. He starts running hot immediately, and it's just hard to deal with. Fuck, I need to drink out of a can. This is too loud, this plastic bottle. My bad. Sound guy, I said, please get us cans. It's easier to sip out of. You don't even care about the sound. All you care about is Cine. I don't blame you, but come on. All right. So adversity. I thought I ended him. He rebought. Now he's running good. And now there, I talk about momentum in regular poker, full ring, what have you. There is so much momentum in heads up. And now it's swung. I had all of it from the start. And there was, you know, a couple hands where there were setbacks, but I had all of it. And I ended him, and now he has it. And I really need to win a pot. There's some money out there, and I bet 2 times the pot. And he thinks and folds. And that's a momentum changer potentially. I had air. I couldn't win, and I bet 2 times the pot. And you can't take hand histories because it's going fast. That's one of the beauties of heads up. It's almost like playing online. It's so fucking fast. And, you know, in LA where the dealers are fast. And now I bet bottom pair for value on the turn. And I know he has ace high when he calls. The river's an ace. He bombs. I fold. Okay. And then I don't know if this is a cooler or not because he made quads and I had trips. And that sounds like a cooler, but there were 3 8s out there. And he had an 8 and whatever else. And my hand was 3 8s. The 3 8s that were out there. And maybe had a card that played, maybe I didn't. So is that a cooler if he has quads and I have trips? It seems like a cooler. Anyways, I bet I couldn't win with whatever I had. So I bet the river. Then he raised. And I 3-bet. And I just wanted to, I didn't think he'd call with anything but quads. And then he 4-bet. And I folded and he showed the quads. So is that a cooler? If he has quads and I have trips, it sounds like a cooler. But really, there's 3 8s out there. He has an 8 and whatever else, and I have 2 fucking dumbass cards that don't match the board. Okay, so, and now he's winning every hand. And God damn it, is this guy going to win the heads up match? Is he going to not only win on the new, on a second buy, but, you know, win? Is he going to come all the way storming back? It's possible. And, you know, so I'm just going to make it bigger pre-flop. Dark. I'll make it 50, 60. Who cares? And it's going to put him in a tough spot because he's a normal human being, like a cool dude who doesn't have fucking issues. The people who are really sick at No Limit Hold'em, every last one of them has issues. Book that. Find me one that doesn't. And, you know, and so now I'm making the pots bigger and I'm getting stuff through. He's folding now to my reaches. And that means I'm just reaching to bet chips. I'm using this kind of tilted, fake tilted. He knows I'm not tilted. We're joking around the whole time. I'm blaming everything on the floor, man. And just doing it in a funny way. And I'm just reaching and he's folding. So he's not even making me bet. And no, so it's starting to go back my way a little bit. Just the aggression, ramp it up, put the dark money out there. And like, he's calling. And it's just really hard to play against a dark raise heads up because you don't want to be opening a ton out of position. And what happens either way is the bigger pots are always played with me in position. And so that's just something that happens fundamentally from this dark bet. And it puts him in a tough spot. It's really hard to balance an opening range out of position against a fucking maniac like myself. And so he's going to limp with his bad hands and raise his good ones. And that's going to favor me, right? When I know what he has and he has no idea what I have because I'm dark. And this is my best play of the session. I am the dark, and I have ace of spades, king of X. So I have ace, king offsuit, and you know, he's in there, he just limped. And it comes 4-3 deuce, all spades, and he checks, and I bet tiny. I have, you know, ace, I have the nut flush draw, a straight flush draw, and you know, 2 over cards, and it's a dark hand, and he has a million hands, and my hand, you know, rates to, it's just, it's good for a small bet, right? I'm happy for him to come along, and he raises He check raises. Small. No, he check raises, and I call. And so, just to rewind this hand, because this was my best play. I dark. I made it like $40 dark on the button. And he called 30 more. And then it came 4-3 deuce, all spades. And I have ace of spades, king of whatever. So the nut flush draw, straight draw, two overs, all that. And he checks, and I bet tiny, and he check raises me. And, okay, I still have this huge draw. I call. And the turn is a 9, and it's not a spade. And he bets not too big, and I call. And the river is a 6 of spades. And his hands start to shake. I have the nut flush. And he bets, and I fold. And I just know, because I just know this shaky hand. He's not leading here with anything but a straight flush. And I fold the nut flush. I don't even call one bet. I just fold, and he shows me the 5 of spades. So he might have flopped a flush, or he might have flopped a straight. Either way, he made a straight flush on the end and bet it. And his hands were a little shaky, and his sizing was a tell. And I had the ace of spades on 4-3 deuce, spade, 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 9 of whatever, 6 of spades. He bet in a heads up match against a fucking, you know, someone going for all the time. And I just folded, and he showed me the 5 of spades. I didn't ask him to. Definitely my best play. Just kind of a locked in moment for sure. And now I wrote death always. I can be dramatic at the table. And sometimes the hero fold, it saves you money in the moment, but then it puts you on tilt. You see this often. And I talk about this when I commentate, this person's already made 2 disciplined folds. Do they have any left? You run out of good folds. I believe that. And sometimes people will make a good fold and then they'll just tilt punt it off the next hand. And it's like, well, you should have just called. And that's not what's happening here. I'm just feeling sorry for myself. Death always. But this is really lucky. I miss on ace, 6, deuce, 4. So I had what? I might have had like a hand like, you know, 10-5. And I knew when he called on the turn, he had medium strength on ace, 6, deuce, 4. So the river's a 9, and I overbet, something that's worked every time in this heads-up match. When I want him to fold a medium strength hand, I just overbet. And, well, this time he calls, and he had pocket 9s. So on the turn, on ace, 6, deuce, 4, I knew he had medium strength. I knew he didn't have top pair, and I had a gutter and some dumb card to go with it. And I bet, and I just knew when he called, okay, it's medium strength. If I bink, then I'm going to put a very smallish value bet out there, right? And if I don't, I have to bet a lot to represent the ace, aces up, whatever. And so I did, but the guy rivered a set, and you can just, that's a weird way of running bad. And he's had kings 5 times heads up, and he's won all of them, and he shows them all. He's a nice dude. And then so I steal the next pot with an air ball, and I don't show my bluffs. And then he's showing down winners, and I'm not, because I'm winning most of my pots before we get to the river. And if I ever have anything, I'm massaging it. If I'm not, I'm blasting. And it seems easy to play against. Well, you know, hit me up. I like it. It's not that easy to play against. And I play the board, and so I pot it on the river. I don't think he's very strong. I just pot it. I play the board, pot it, he folds. 8 high, I take it. I miss the world, and I have showdown value. I just check, and I lose to some weird hand. Then I miss in a pretty big spot. And then he 3 bets, one of my dark opens. I fold. I'm just, when he 3 bets, he has a good hand. And when he doesn't, he doesn't. And it's really hard to balance that shit out of position. It just is. And he shows queens. Dude was super cool, the banker. He's just in town to play tournaments. And he has heart and money. And I don't know. You know, he probably beats his poker games wherever he plays. And this is different. This is, you know, he's playing someone that's won a lot in their career as a live no limit specialist, and really shorthanded specialist, and biggest specialties heads up. So I don't know. I have a tilty image because I'm, you know, losing pots, and I dark 40, and I have jack 6, and he calls, and it comes jack 9x. I just pot it. Why do I pot it with top pair? Because I have a tilty image. He's going to call with worse, and he calls, and the turn's a queen, and we never put another chip in, and he has king queen. He binks on me. Okay, that's fine. And I do dark 40 again, and he makes it 120. I call with 7-6 suited, and it comes jack 5 deuce, and he bets small. I don't believe him. I call on jack 5 deuce with 7-6. I'm going to win on a turn. Turn's a king. I don't like this. He checks. I check. The river's a 5. He bombs. I fold. He shows ace king. So, yeah. And now he thanks me for not hitting and running. And he inadvertently slow-rolled me earlier with a hand I thought was really strong, and his hand was slightly better, and I would have raised in his spot, and I didn't care. And this is an inadvertent needle. Thank you for not hitting and running after I beat him, and now it's going his way. He's probably won all that money back, and it's time for my worst play. That's always good. And I have queen jack of diamonds in the darkie. And so darkie is a term that I believe was made popular in poker by Corporation Mike. If you are super old school, his parents used to own the corporation at the bike, and he would play poker, and he would go off, and he's a smart player, but, you know, had too much money and too little patience, and he would give you darkies all the time. And like, here's, and we were playing bigger, and he'd be like, here's a little $1,200 darkie for you, a $1,600 darkie. And so I've had so many funny times at the table with old school people like that. Anyways, I'm the darkie. I'm doing darkies pre. I'm just doing 40, 50, 60, 30, whatever. It was 20 before the floor man tried to make us break our 5-10 game and go to the 5-5. And so I have queen jack of diamonds, and it comes jack 5 deuce, all spades, and he checks, and I bet over pot with top pair and no spade, and he calls, and this is debatable. I do like betting here in general, but it's debatable. He calls, and the turn's a spade, and he checks, and now I check. My hand just went to hell, and the river's a brick. He checks, I check, and he had pocket sixes with the six of spades. So he needed to hit his flush, and he did. But I just feel like I played that hand kind of lame. Like, you have queen jack, and it's jack five deuce, all spades. Over pot is a little... No, it should have been smaller and give myself an option to bluff later if I need to, right? And I could have gotten to fold the six of spades probably, but not when I over did. Like, the pot's just too big. It's too risky now. There's no wiggle room. I didn't like that at all, how I played that hand. And of course, I would have won if the turn and river wasn't a spade or a six. But I mentioned in part one that they play music in the room. And it's one of the things... One of many things I like about the Hustler poker room and the Crystal room is their high stakes area. And it's not that high stakes now, but it will be. It's getting that way. Now this comes on, and this is my favorite band as a kid. And I kind of needed a pick me up after that worst play. And let me see here. If I can find their fucking song, motherfuckers. Spotify. Sound guy was supposed to cue this up for me, but he didn't. So I'll find it. Okay, this song comes on. The best parts of my childhood. Driving to the beach with my friend and his mom and his sister. Listen to this. The Ramones. And what a good song for Heads Up. So you need a little pick-me-up, and now it's Do You Want to Dance? And I got the darkie out there, and now this guy's feeling more confident, and he's going to be opening a little wider. And he opens a little wider, and he doesn't know the Ramones was my favorite band as a kid and one of my all-time favorite bands. And, he's opening a little wider, and I pause, and I straighten up. And I have queen three offsuit, and I just three-bet pretty big, and he thinks and folds. And this is just like a little momentum changer. And they go back-to-back Ramones songs, and let me see what the second one was. Um... It's this one, which is, you know, kind of how I've felt most of my adult life and even a little bit before. So, it's already problematic. I'm really good at a few things in life, but one of them is Heads Up No Limit at fucking 4 in the morning. And now you're playing some music that's going to inspire me. And I've music's always played a big, you know, part in my life. It's, yeah, it's got me through like everyone else. You know, it does a lot of things for me. And here it's got me a second wind. I ended this guy. He rebought. He ran well. I made a bad play with the Queen Jack, but didn't run good. I got cooler to the nut flush against straight flush. I folded. And now I just have this energy again from this music. And I play a big pot where I barrel. I 3-bet with Jack 7 offsuit. And that's not a great hand, but it's the one the dealer gave me. And it came 4-deuce-deuce. And I bet in position. And the turn was a 4, and I bet again in position. And, you know, the turn is the time to get it done, and I bet big enough. He thought for a while and folded. And it's the Ramones. I probably wouldn't have a 3-bet Queen 3 offsuit or Jack 7 offsuit, but they put on the Ramones. So it is a simulation. I needed that pick-me-up, and God's like, here, man, here's your fucking shit from childhood. Just the best part of my childhood, just dirt roads to the beach in my friend's mom's Ford Probe, blasting tapes. That's how old we are. Tape, cassette tapes, and it would be me, him, and his sister and his mom, and sick. No, you don't wear seatbelts back then. She's smoking Winston's, drinking Coke, and we're just listening to that shit, and like got our surfboards on the racks, and shit was nice. And okay, well, you know, now this is what? This is many years later. This is 30 years later, and it's lifting me up to turn things around again. I ended the guy, he rebought, he's done well, and now he's in trouble again. And then I flop a set, and I won $9. It happens. It just got no action. It was, I didn't open a small pocket pair, and is that right? How did I only win $9? I think I had deuces and I didn't open it. I just limped and I flopped the deuce and I bet and you folded. And I bet, you know, like $10 and you folded. And so what? I have all the yellow chips now, just like the main event. You can always, if you get moved to a table in the main event, you can always tell who the fucking lag is who's trying to win every single pot. And it's the dickhead with all the small denomination chips. And that's me in this heads up match. I have all of the yellow, like walls of yellow, and I now I'm having my way with this dude, and we agreed to quit at a certain time, and what we were doing is we each gave the dealer $10, so the dealer would make 20 in $1 chips and put it near the rake, and every hand they would just take $1 out of that pot, that tower, and put it down the thing. That way they're not making change every hand. It's just a very basic thing, and it does benefit me as someone who's going to win more pots than the other guy. I'm paying same rake as him, basically. But we're paying, you know, a good amount per hour. So what? When it was the last chip going down the hatch, we had agreed to quit. And I had top pair. And I value bet. And he raised. And I folded. And he showed me a boat. And so it was a very friendly heads-up match. And I played 4 hours in total, and I won 3.5 lives. It was a good, I had that one good hand when, you know, with Ace Jack against the active guy early on, and then I won considerable, you know, heads up. I ended him, and then when he rebought, he probably ran it all the way back up to where he was, and then back down, and I did very well, and Yeah, let me take another sip and let's do the lead out all the way to the official session I'm going to play for week 49, the last, second to last week of the year for me, and hopefully not the second to last week of this podcast ever, but to be determined. Hold on. So I cashed out and I headed back to my hotel. Sorry, someone's calling me right now. I shouldn't have my phone here. That's, you know, it's not the most professional, but at least sound guy muted it this time. Anyways, went back to my hotel room, watched some questionable content on the internet, and I crashed. And then I woke up on Tuesday, December 7th, after, you know, adequate sleep or reasonable sleep. I got some coffee and I wrote, and then I showered and I headed to lunch with the GM of the Hustler, Sean Yapel, trying to close a deal to sell Hustler Casino Live gear on Poker Rags. And we're going to give them a great deal as far as percentage, and we're going to get a bunch of exposure, and it's time for this thing to blow up. I've been working on this company for several years, and I think we closed the deal on this day, the, you know, December 7th, which is Tuesday, and now it's, in real time, it's Wednesday the 15th, so we're, you know, 8 days later, and I got the contract in the email in between just tonight, and I'll be looking it over. But I think we closed the deal, and always good going out to lunch with this dude. And went to this place called Eatalian. So eat, and then combine the word eat with Italian, and it's Eatalian, and it's really close to the Hustler. And the Hustler's in a tougher area. It's called Gardena, but it's really close to all these less tough areas. Well, this one's in Gardena. There's a, like, a motorcycle club, like, you know, Sons of Anarchy shit right by it. And then you just go in this restaurant and it's beautiful and it has this really great Italian food. And I think they order it for the show sometimes. So if you're ever in the area and you want to eat somewhere really good, go to Eatalian, just really close to the Hustler in Gardena. And it's just, you know, and if you want to make a trip out there, you can stay in that area. It's not the end of the world. There are places close by that are really nice. And depending on how much money you have, there's Hawthorne. I stay in Torrance, which is very nice. And then if you're caked off, just stay in Manhattan Beach, which is really close. And go to play in the best place to play. And yeah. So anyways, it was a cool lunch. And I got to pay for the first time. He always pays. I finally got to pay. And I fucking, because my life's a blur, I left my credit card there. Well, fuck it. And I realized it when I got back to the Hustler, and I tried to get some caffeine for the show at the snack bar, and my credit card was gone. And I just get lots of caffeine, and I, you know, a lot of diet soda, and also I have I get sugar-free Red Bull just in case I start to go to outer space when I'm in the booth. Happens sometimes. It's a lot of screen time, and it's a lot of, you know, you're in there for a lot of hours straight, and sometimes I go to outer space and I need a sugar-free Red Bull. And this game was the ante game, very entertaining game. Nick ran horribly. The chat was really awesome on this night. I don't know. Sometimes the chat makes me fucking sick, and sometimes they're really awesome. And the Santa Claus was in the game and from Palmdale, and people were talking about who ruined Christmas. And it was just like this really, the way a Tuesday game should be, where you're focusing on the action, but also keeping it very light. You should always keep everything light, in my opinion. Even the Friday game, keep it light sometimes. But it was just really cool. It was a really fun night to commentate. And then I raced back to, when the show was over, raced back to my hotel to order food before the restaurant there closed. And I ate it in my room, and I watched Hustler Casino Live because I want to get better. I know that I have certain things I do well, and I also know there are certain things where I'm just a total fucking rookie. And just kind of like the intro and reminding people what show it is, and I never say who I am or I have a podcast. I have a lot of things to work on. Who cares? I'm just learning it. I'm I've got trained, if you call it that. I've got help from the best there is in the My first show was with Mark Goon. He's great. He's fucking really funny. I worked with Nicole, and Dave Tuckman's as good as it gets. And even Bart gave me a bunch of tips from, you know, a distance, just messaged them to me. And I'm really looking for, I thought I would be better than I am at this point, but I've only been doing it, I don't know, I've been up there 4 or 5 weeks. But I'll get there, I think. It doesn't come natural for me to sound very official, but the other stuff does, like telling you what's going on in people's minds and why this person shouldn't be betting because their image sucks right now and this person's sticky, and when you should be going for it and when Durr should be overbetting and when he should be betting small and this and that. That part I got. And, you know, in interacting with the chat, I got that part. But the official parts, I suck at. Reminding people what show it is, who I am, and I should tell people I have a fucking podcast. I never do. And whatever. So I'll watch it, and I'm not worried about it. I think it's going in the right direction. Ryan says it is, and I don't know. Everyone's happy. So, and then I crashed. And then I woke up on Wednesday, December 8th, and I was super fucking groggy. And sometimes I am. Often I am. This is a grind, man. This podcast documents a real grind. You kind of just like wake up one day and it's 2017 and you didn't even know you were self-destructive your whole life. And now you're starting to put the pieces together and you have all these memories pop up from childhood and you start to realize, oh shit. And then you realize I'm $250,000 in debt. You didn't even see it. You never even saw it. It was all a blur. And not only that, you don't feel like borrowing any more money. You don't feel like playing high stakes because you don't trust the deck. And you just work through a bunch of shit and you keep your kids in their good spot. You know, they're really nice upper class spot and they don't need that, but it's better to not yank them from what they're used to when you're going through a divorce, in my opinion, if you can. It's fine if you have to. And I did what I wanted to do. And this has been a real fucking grind. And this year has been the hardest year, I think, but also the most promising year. I think things are looking up. And so you're groggy a lot and you just got to work. You just got to say, fuck it. Just fucking work. Like, you don't feel good. So what? Have coffee, record, write, whatever it is. Yeah. And I leave early for my gig at the Hustler, and I stop by Italian again. I get my card. People there are cool. This is a spot I will be going to often. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend Italian in Gardena. And so I didn't, I should have, you know, got food there. No, I like to go to the Hustler, go upstairs, and I like to take my time and think about the intro and what I'm going to do. And I don't know. I like to collect myself before a show. And it's a good game. This is the game where the kid who got fourth in the World Series of Poker main event, Josh Remedio, was in and drinking a lot. And people were very drunk. DJ Mello D came in the game. Barry was in the game. And the guy in the Angels was in the game, David Fletcher. And anyways, it was a pretty loud game because they were drunk. And that's LA poker and sometimes Vegas poker. And that's good poker. And yeah, so it was over. I was kind of worn out because when, you know, it's loud in your headphones and it's 5 hours straight. And I got my food and I went upstairs. And Ryan texted me and said, Mello wants to have a beer. Where are you at? I said, tell him to come upstairs. And I see Barry walk by, and Barry was in the 5 seat on this night. I feel like I know these people. I feel like I know Jeremy Levine, or if that's how you say his last name. I feel like I know all these people that have played when I've commentated. RB, I do know Josh. I just feel like I know them all. I go, what's up, Barry? And he doesn't know me. And he's like, what's up? And I just, you know, tell him who I am. And he's like, all right, let's go. We're having drinks. And I'm like, okay, cool. Mello's coming up here anyways. And they all do. That kid, Josh Remedio, comes up, and he has a lot of nervous energy on stream. He did. He probably, you know, regretted some of, it wasn't like anything horrible, but he probably regretted some of his behavior. Just nervous energy. He's a kid who just won a bunch of money, and like, we've all been there. Well, we've all been kids, and he was just so different after the stream. He was just a chill kid, and all his friends were chill, and it was just a good, you know, bunch of people sitting around having drinks, and Barry's making everyone tip the waitress a million, and I kind of like that, and, yeah, and, you know, we're just, blowing off steam. And Barry's like, when are you going to play? And I'm like, Barry, you ever been in a rebuilding mode? And he's like, yep. And I said, and he said, you lit me up one time. I don't believe that. I bet you he thinks it was me when it was. I could see Mark Goon lighting someone up just because he cares. He's just fucking hilarious and doesn't care. I could see, I don't know. I said, I don't light people up for how they play. I said, if I lit you up, it was for talking about something dumb at the table. Maybe that was it. And he's like, when are you going to play? And I was like, you know, I don't got the money. But also, you don't want me to play. And I don't know. We just kind of had a bunch of drinks and got to know these people. And then, you know, people in Rob, who was in the game, was up there, super cool. And it gets a little blurry. And it comes down to just me and DJ Melo D just drinking until last call. And, you know, beyond last call until 2 a.m. And got a little bit overserved. But we really had this really cool talk about life and kids. And we've both been there, like Josh was, where we're overserved and saying dumb shit at the poker table. He mentioned that. I know I've done that a bunch. But we're mainly talking about kids and being supportive, how good parents are now. You got to be supportive of your kid. You can't force them to do what you want to do. Like, I want my son to be an athlete, and he's very athletic, but ever since Corona, he's been into Fortnite, and I got to be supportive of that. We're just talking this shit, drunk, two men talking, and that's some cool shit. And now we can't drink anymore, so it's time for me to put in the session for week 49. And yeah, that's right, a little bit overserved, a lot of bit overworked, and all they have right now is 2-5 downstairs. That's fine. Let's book another W and then sober up enough to drive back to the hotel, you know, Tommy Angelo style. And you'll hear about the session tomorrow. Peace. I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. That's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know. We're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm going to need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Because otherwise...